buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, it's a busy day, of course. Now we're hearing that the Kamchatka Peninsula, the earthquake yesterday, one of the five most powerful earthquakes ever recorded, now has set off, or maybe it's vice versa, maybe the volcano there that is the largest in Eurasia, in other words, it's a big one, is now spewing. That's as of about an hour ago. So maybe it was the volcano that triggered this huge earthquake that set off a rare tsunami warning in the Hawaiian Islands. I was over in Honolulu in May, and I know I asked the taxi driver, do you ever use those huge yellow sirens, the tsunami sirens? And he said he couldn't recall. It was rarely used, but boy, were they blaring yesterday. They had to be very careful, Tom.
Oh, yeah. And you know, that area is part of that Pacific, I don't know what would
ring
you,
of fire.
That ring of fire that includes activity in Alaska,
sure,
and Japan,
yeah,
all around through there,
yeah, all the way to San Diego,
yeah.
So, and there is, by the way, still a tsunami advisory up for places like even Santa Cruz, California, where the surf's up, so to speak. Some of the waves have been at least a foot higher than usual, and some of those waves on Oahu were clocked in at about 7 feet. That's pretty good height. Anyway, it's Buckmaster Wednesday, the 30th of July, midweek edition in the Green Things Zilkalo Village studio at the Bustos Media Center here in central Tucson. Five radio stations operating in one location. This one is the news talk version of all of what we do. This is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted live news and talk. You can hear all of our programs live during the noon hour at buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. All of our podcasts going back to the first week of January 2011, when we started our program, are available. Quite a historical archive, actually. That first week, we interviewed Gabby Giffords. I think it was the last interview she did before the assassination attempt. But anyway, it's all available at buckmastershow.com. Our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're going to do a whole hour today, talk about Project Blue, RTA, bunch of other stuff with General Ted Maxwell and Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Paul is with me in studio. Paul is the Ward 2 Tucson City Councilman. He's been in office since 2011, or is it 2010?
2010.
Okay, I was close. General Ted Maxwell on the live line. General Maxwell has led Southern Arizona Leadership Council as president and CEO since 2018, had nearly 34 years of military service, including 15 years active duty Air Force, additional 19 in the Air National Guard. He retired as a two-star major general in 2018. His final military position, Commander, Arizona Air National Guard. Doug Ducey, when he was governor, appointed General Maxwell to represent Pima County on the 7-member Arizona State Transportation Board. He's also, because he's an ADOT representative, he is on the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors. So there's a lot to talk about today. First of all, let me welcome you, General Maxwell. Hope you're doing okay.
With you, Bill. I actually wish I was in studio, and I apologize for that. It'd always be good to see Councilmember Cunningham and see Paul. I have some great discussions with Paul, whether it's on the radio or off the radio, and it would have been a lot of fun to be in the studio with you to add the conversation.
Yeah, we're going to have a good conversation for sure, and I do want to mention General Maxwell continues to grow in his expertise as a radio talk show host with his Tuesday show on The Morning Voice here on KVOI. General Maxwell's on from 7 to 9 on Tuesdays. All right, let's begin with Councilman Cunningham. Yesterday, Adelita Grijalva was in the chair you are now occupying, and she said she would have been a hard no on Project Blue if she were still on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And she said she never even heard of Project Blue as she was the chairperson on the board right up until she resigned to run for Congress. Are you ready, if the vote were taken today, are you ready to announce your decision?
Yeah, my decision's pretty hard, whether or not it's today, tomorrow, or the next day after. I can't really support this project. It's going to be a really heavy lift to get me to change my mind. In fact, I just don't see an avenue right now for it. The problem is that I had the same experience that Adelita did when it came to not really being informed of all the actions that had gone on. So I didn't really like the secrecy piece anyway. And the other piece that came through was when we had the discussion about the water, it wasn't really sincere. They didn't really tell. They said, well, it's going to be water neutral, but we're not really counting evaporation and we're going to be able to do paper water credits. Well, that's not water neutral. Water neutral is, you know, we extract the same amount of water from the project as we take out of the ground, which, again, is not really what we can do. 99% of the time, I'm very open to discussing things like this. I also don't even like the deal. I think our deal would be, I'd prefer our deal would be structured a little bit differently, in which it would bolster more to the general fund instead of to the utility. So there's some discussion points there. But that being said, even if we did get the deal to those discussion points, I just don't know if I trust that process at this point. So while I think there's an avenue to look at data centers long term and try to find an avenue, obviously this wasn't the one to do it. So at this point, I'd say that I have high doubts. Like, anything's possible, but I'm a no.
And General Maxwell, you and your team at Southern Arizona Leadership Council are still supportive of this project.
We are, and there's a lot of reasons for it. Now, I mean, I understand the concerns that are being aired. I sit on the Arizona Reclamation Council still, and we're dealing with all the issues with the Colorado River and how that's going to work out. We got some negotiations that have to be done there. I think ADWR is representing there. I guess I'm supportive of it because if we talk about the RTA, and I know we're going to talk details about the RTA, but let's just talk about why the RTA, one, finds itself in the position there is. One piece of it is the fact that in 2006, this economy was rolling in this region. We were rolling. The forecast had us going on. We were growing at a steady rate of people coming to Pima County, both to live and to do business. And just before, it's really ironic, if you look about 2005, you'll see it takes a slight tick down on that growth. And then 2008, everything else comes in. But the fact of the matter is, since then, we've been growing at a much slower rate. The funding that was supposed to bring in the revenue stream for RTA was based on Pima County being over 1.3 million visitors. Residents. 1.3 million. We're not even close. We're still under 1.1. Growth has come to a crawl. And I think what we're finding out in this region and in the city of Tucson as well is business growth is not bad. Business growth adds to your ability to care for the people that reside here. And right now, our poverty rates remain high. We don't have good jobs and opportunities. And this is another chance. And is it perfect? No. Do I believe that the group that is working it? Yes. If you want to criticize the process, you're going to criticize the economic development process, which will turn Pima County and Tucson off forever. There's a reason that the organizations that work in economic development have to keep things quiet until it gets to the point where they can start disclosing it. And one of the reasons SALC is such a strong supporter is, one, we truly do. A lot of the folks that live in our community that are construction, builders, electricians, plumbers, they have to go outside of Pima County for their employment. And you heard that loud and clear last week from the unions at the Project Blue meeting. And yes, it will bring 185 jobs over for the first three buildings of the phase. It's not earth shaking on the employment numbers. 3,000 jobs in construction. The unions were saying if this continues to grow out, it's going to be construction work for 10 years for our residents who every day have to get up and leave town to find work.
All right.
And here's the reality.
Go ahead.
Here's the reality, Bill. This is the most important part. If we say no now, others are going to turn away. But if a company such as the company that's been leaked, that's going to be actually using the data center, comes here, that catches the rest of the nation, the rest of the business community's attention. Tucson is open for business. Big companies are choosing to come here. And then you hope that the economic development systems, both of the city, the county, and the Chamber of Southern Arizona, will bring more and more business, more prosperity here. And that's what we're missing in this region.
All right,
we're
Paul. Missing it. Paul, thank you, General. Paul Cunningham, is Tucson, does this send the message Tucson is now closed for business?
Saying that we're not, if you've noticed the groundswell against this data center and you've seen all the other communities who have buyer's remorse or fighting data centers because of some of the just unforeseen repercussions on it, I don't think this sends that message. I think that's a bit of a red herring. The bottom line is that this is not a good project, and this the way this was conducted with all this cloak and dagger stuff is not how we do business in the city of Tucson, and our citizens and residents deserve more than that. I'll say this, if we want to prove that we're open for business and we want to put in a set of parameters that allow data centers to come in, that's proving that we're open for business. If we want to say, hey, data center, you can come to Tucson, but this is the transparent process that we have for people, this is what you have to understand what our parameters is, that says we're open for business. But doing all this secret stuff and then showing up at the last minute and go, hey, by the way, even though our math is kind of not true, we're going to make it water neutral. That's almost insulting. It's like, look, let's take a look at some of these data centers. They go to desperate cities and try to exploit them to basically usurp resources. And the bottom line is that, yeah, we want economic partners, but we want good economic partners who are all in for Tucson. And I don't think these people represent that. Sorry.
And so my question, Paul, really is, I fully understand your belief on the data centers. And you started by saying you're open to data centers. That last line really said you're not open for data centers.
No, I'm not open for this. That's not what I said, Ted. Yeah. I said I'm not open for this data center.
Unless they comply with how we want the business. And I get that. And I'm not saying data centers are great economic booms in the long run. I think this could be the start of an economic boom here. My problem is, how has the success rate of bringing businesses to Tucson been?
Well, what I'd say is
show me the wins.
So what I'd say is that you can go through and take a look at what our annual number of people punching paychecks are. It's a BLS number. It's done by the Bureau of Labor, and it's a Bureau of Labor statistic, and it's neutral. I mean, it's done by the U.S. government, and it's kind of without any spin. And so if you look at that, and you go annually since 2010, we've pretty much had steady growth. We've hovered around 470,000 to 475,000 people punching paychecks less than 5 years ago. Even pre-COVID, we peaked at 462. And so we've come back out of COVID, and we're back over. We'll probably be at 480,000. So I think that's including the fact that our wage growth has expanded exponentially, considered that our minimum wage went up in the state as well. So I'd push back a little bit and say that we're not growing economically and that we're not meeting that burden. I'd say that on some cases we're seeing some underemployment. I'd also say that in Ward 2, where I work, in our Broadway corridor from Wilmot to Harrison, we are at one of the highest commercial occupancy rates we've been in a long time. So I'm going to push back on that a little bit. I think that I agree that we always want to take opportunities to take on new businesses. And like I said, I'm open to having a program set up for data centers, but I'm not going to be, I just can't, with the process where it is and how it shook out, we'd have to reset it if you were going to and kind of almost start over on a blank slate if you want to get me to the table for this one.
All right, General, hold your thought right there. We do need to take our first break. Paul Cunningham is here, Tucson City Councilman. General Ted Maxwell is on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. When we come back, Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham will have an announcement about the future of bus fares in the city of Tucson. That's coming up on the Buckmaster Show, Midweek Edition.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, rocking and rolling here on our midweek edition covering Project Blue, Tucson City Council. We've got RTA on the table still to discuss. General Ted Maxwell's on our live line, the president and CEO since 2018 of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. The live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And with me in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio is Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Let's put Project Blue on hold for a second. What is your decision concerning the future of free bus fares in the city of Tucson? I understand that you plan next week at the meeting to make a motion. What will that motion be?
So I'm in support of re-implementing the bus fares. There's a couple caveats to it, but I think we need to go back. The staff's making a recommendation to re-implement bus fares, but have a free bus, like a free pass program. I think that's in the right direction. I think there's some tweaks we need to do to it. We wouldn't have a low-income fare, and then I'm just really not sure how that works. So the details are part of that, but we definitely we'll have an item to discuss those bus fares, and my intention is to support the re-implementation of them.
General Maxwell, would you be in favor of that, and would your members at Southern Arizona Leadership Council be in favor of that?
Absolutely, and I'm glad to hear that the councilman's going to get behind and support that. I know he's been one of those ones pushing forward, wants to do it right, wants to make sure it's there's still those who are in need of support can get it. I think it addresses several issues. One of is funding and revenues, and there's been a lot of cities, Kansas City being one, others who've had free bus programs, and they find that the best way to have a high quality transit system is to have to address the revenue and the expenditure side. And the fact of the matter is, before the council went to the free bus fares during COVID, there was a large segment, I think, and Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought it was about 40% of people were riding at either some discounted or free rate. So I think it's doable. I think there's people that can afford to pay for it, and why shouldn't they? If they can afford to pay, let's make it happen. And the transit system is absolutely critical, and that's a big piece of the RTA going forward as well.
So there's a whole bunch of stuff with route efficiencies and other pieces where we really need to take a look at kind of how we're doing it from a quality management standpoint. I think that we've got some opportunities with both route efficiencies, minor tweaks to save a little money, but having a more modest system that's less expansive, but is really good and really reliable and is low increments is way better than stretching ourselves too thin and biting off more than we can chew. Mm-hmm. So all the time as a basketball coach, I say to kids, play within yourselves. Don't try to do too much because disaster can happen. So the same thing would happen with the bus system. If we try to bite off more than we can chew and try to do too much, that's what kind of gets us in trouble. So I think there's some opportunity there. Look, a number of people have asked me if this is about fentanyl and safety and things like that. I think they're different discussions. We need to have a bus system that's properly resourced. That properly resourced means we have to have enough revenues to do all the things we want on there. We can't do that without collecting bus fares. Whether or not that means working on changing how bus stops look or changing on who's riding the bus, there is no scientific study or anything that says the crime rate's going to magically lower and we're going to have less unsheltered hanging out at bus stops because we put bus fares back in. There's no guarantee of any of those things. The issue is that we need some semblance of this system to cover some of its expenses. Right now, we spend almost 16% of our general fund investing into the transit system, and at best guess, about 5% of our population uses the transit system. So we've got to make those adjustments.
And I agree with the council member on that. There's a lot of different ways to attend this, but I'll be real honest. I just came back from visiting my grandkids in the Seattle area, and their transit system, their bus stops, the way that each bus stop you can purchase a ticket to move on, it is professional, it's first class. And to say they don't have a homeless problem is not true either. They do. They're facing a lot of the same homeless challenges we have. But what you didn't see is the homeless folks either hanging out at the bus stops or getting on the bus stops. And it's not always the crime that we've seen, in Ted's opinion, increase in the bus, or at least it's becoming more newsworthy in the current buses, is a reflection of not having a system that really tracks and supports those bus riders who are in need. We've got to figure out a way. There's so much going on in the homeless situation that we have to address. You don't want, one's not leading to the other and vice versa. But I do believe that to make this bus system what you want, Paul, this is a good move. So thank you.
I just wanted to go back to Project Blue, if you guys don't mind. I understand, and this came to me through a listener who seems to be in the know, that the city is going to move forward with annexing the Project Blue southeast area there of Tucson at the next meeting.
No.
Even though this is that bad information?
No,
we're not going to move forward.
The annexation, I don't think, is on the agenda. Let me see, how does it work? I think we're having a study session to plan, and there's two public meetings that they want to do outreach on. I haven't been following it to some of the formal stuff isn't. I read that online too, but no, we're not taking a vote on the annexation, and they can't do the annexation without a vote of the mayor and council. And I quite frankly don't know if there's votes there to do the annexation.
Okay, General, don't think that's there yet. Before we wrap up Project Blue, were there some pieces here, and we've got about 2 minutes, that you would like to summarize before we transition here?
Well, the council member is correct. There's two more upcoming meetings. And what I'd strongly encourage, well, before you say you're a hard no, ask the hard questions. Talk to Terry Sylvan, talk to the Beal team. Because to go back to the talk about, we need to improve opportunities for people, how we're going to solve crime, poverty, the future of Tucson is to help grow. And the fact of the matter on the employment growth numbers is in 2024, according to the MAP dashboard, we were at a minus 5% unemployment growth. When compared with our 11 peer communities, we're at bottom. And that was about a 2% drop. So we've got to encourage companies to come here. I'm not in the economic development field. That is the role of Sun Quarter, now the same Chamber of Southern Arizona. So you have to talk to them if you don't like how the systems work. But don't give up on this project, because by every indication, this company is coming in with resiliency and the ability to work in our type of climate in a pretty responsible manner compared to previous and other communities that face. So I just ask you to stay open.
I think that's all good, but the bottom line is, man, is that what's on the table doesn't make sense for us anyway. We need to bolster the general fund. Right, I can't take $10 million, that's it, on the general fund and 180 permanent jobs and go.
Up against a hard break, Paul Cunningham and General Maxwell, and I guess we're not through with Project Blue, because we're going to pick up the discussion after the mid-show break. CBS Network News, it's Buckmaster Midweek. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, great place to go for all of your gardening needs. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Their sister business is Zocalo Village. All that wonderful merchandise, huge selection. They say, and I believe it, Arizona's largest selection of pottery. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com are your two websites. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Sean and his team over there do a really good job. All right, let's continue now with our discussion in studio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Paul Cunningham, he is the Democrat council member in Ward number 2, and on the live line, General Ted Maxwell, who leads the Southern Arizona Leadership Council as president and CEO. He's done that since 2018. The noon hour is like a drive time show. People are in and out of their cars, so if people are just joining us, Councilman Cunningham said he is a hard no. He announced that on the program here on the Buckmaster Show in segment number 1. He also said he's going to make a motion at the next council meeting next week to return some form of bus fares to the city of Tucson. And just to kind of wrap up Project Blue, and I know there was some question about that annexation. Could you quickly summarize that, Paul Cunningham?
So what has to happen is that the annexation has to go onto a regular session agenda. I'm 99% sure that the study session agenda will have like a pre-discussion about annexation, and then we'll go on a following the next meeting after to be on the regular session. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's on for the night meeting on Tuesday. We won't really know that till tomorrow when the agenda comes out for sure, but I'm 99% sure it's not going to be on there. In the meantime, you can't do an annexation without the city and council voting for it. So even if they brought it to the council, I don't know if there's 4 votes to that. So that's kind of where it is now. I think that the developer probably wants some time to have some public meetings and public discussion to try to bolster their chances of getting those votes. Okay. So that's what I foresee, but that's how that breaks down.
Yeah. There are a lot of people in this community that say we shouldn't even be worrying about Project Blue. We should be worrying about the unsheltered population and getting enough cops on the street here.
Well, I mean, they're not mutually exclusive. So that's one of the discussions we were having in the last segment about unsheltered. And what I've tried to say is that we passed the median ordinance, we passed the no camping ordinances, and those are, while they're symbolic and may help with some of the nuisance unsheltered pieces, the opposition to those ordinances will say you're criminalizing homelessness. And there's some gray area truth to both sides, but the issue isn't, neither of those are the problem. The problem is that we're not arresting enough folks for shoplifting. We're not arresting enough folks for open use. The only way we can do that is to bolster patrol. And the only way we can get the patrol coverage we want with the response we need is to add police.
Can you do that?
I think we can. I mean, I think there's an avenue to do it. I think we'd have to offer some competitive wages to post-certified officers both in the area and in within Arizona so that they could experience some type of pay increase if they move to Tucson. I think we'd also have to encourage some of our CSOs to consider making the leap from being a community service officer to a police officer. Mm-hmm. I think we do that with some type of a bonus or something. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are the first things that I can think of. And then the final piece is retention. We have to make it worth it to stay TPD and to be within TPD so that you don't leave to other departments. And so those are the things that those will cost some money, and those are the things that actually, for me, do lend some credence to we need to be open for business so we can experience those revenue increases. Mm-hmm. And so that discussion is important. I think, again, we've done a good job in trying to develop services and a safety net for folks experiencing on shelters, but we also have to have some type of, it's okay to have expectations for people.
All right. By the way, Chief Kazmar, the chief of police, will be my Friday focus interview Paul Ingram from Tucson Sentinel joins me questioning the chief. All right, General Maxwell, let's get you back in the conversation. What have you heard during segment number three here that you would like to comment on?
Well, I agree with the council member's position that we need more officers on the street. There's no doubt about that. Here comes the shameless plug. I had Chief Casmar on the Morning Voice with me a couple Tuesdays ago, and we talked about the need for the officers, but he feels like he's got a good plan and that he agrees with Paul that it is possible. One of the things that he did point out, though, that was troubling was we were talking about the number of fentanyl cases and the number of arrests and interactions, and the number of arrests that turn into actual charges are less than 50%. And that's we've got to know that, let the police force know that when they do their job and when they're bringing people in, that there's going to be some potential support to putting further charges on, or at least putting people in a position where they need to agree to get help for their dependencies and such. That's one of the challenges I think we have still inside the city, is not just the number of officers and the number of arrests, but the ability to have consequences come out of each one of those interactions with our police force.
Yeah, and in both the city court and superior and justice court, I'll handle that. Justice court is a different branch of government, and it is funded through the county and the state. And so it's really, by the way it's supposed to be set up, we're not supposed to be trying to influence what the judges do or what the judges decide. I think there are some discussions about some diversionary programs and some mandated care programs we could have that could result in lower charges or dismissal of charges if you complete rehabilitation. I think those have to be available. We also don't have an in-custody drug rehabilitation pod in the jail, nor do we have a detox facility within the transition center. And we've got to be able to – we probably want to be able to do that instead of trying to build access every single time a person goes to detox. So I think there's some pieces in both the social welfare system and the court system that could be – fixed. And actually not trying to throw those two systems under the bus. I know there's people working on them. But yeah, Ted, General, you make a great point on
that. Okay, what are we going to do about the Regional Transportation Authority? And will the people of Tucson and Pima County, General Maxwell, get a chance to extend RTA next, which sunsets next year?
Well, I want to start by giving the Technical Management Committee a lot of kudos. They've met, I think, four times in the last 2 weeks. We have a board RTA board meeting tomorrow to discuss where it sits. I believe the recommendation out of the TMC today was still to target a March election. The fact of the matter, I think what everybody's starting to realize, and we've got to get all the elected officials working together on coming to a compromise solution, is that if we can't get something to the ballot and let the voters make that decision on whether they want to continue a regional approach or not, come July 1st, we lose 2/3 of our regional transportation funding, and it will cripple programs like transit.
Paul Cunningham, are we going to get a chance to vote on RTA next?
Let's hope so. And first of all, for everybody who knows, I'm critical of the RTA, and I have my moments with them. I try to be a team player with the RTA, including the Houghton expansion north of Speedway. So I've done my things. But I want to tell everybody a really quick thing about Ted Maxwell, General Maxwell, here on the show. And that is that he's been an incredible advocate for it. And he's also done an amazing job really trying to hold a lot of different elected officials' needs and demands and in some case egos in balance to try to find a good solution. He's come up with original solutions each time. And I think in like core values of the pieces of the package that are important to me, he's always been responsive. And I think he's brought up a couple things that are a reasonably good deal for the city. I think there's some other pieces to it that bring us some challenge. And that is that at the end of the day, not everybody agrees with what I want. And so not only does he have to say to me, all right, this is what we've got, he's also got to talk to each mayor and each council member of the city and each member of the Board of Supervisors and each tribal council member and each town council member of Marana, Sarita, and Oro Valley, and try to hold all those things into balance. And that is such a hard, hard thing to do. So the fact that we got the dang thing passed the first time,
I know.
I'm looking back on it going,
how did
what
that
the
ever
heck?
Happen?
So, and the world was a lot bigger back then because you didn't have social media. You didn't have an instant text.
No.
I think I want to just make sure that Ted gets a shout out on that. In the meantime, for us, I've said it before, I've said it again, and I think that the current package, I don't know what the – there's been a tweak to it apparently that I'm not excited about. But at a core value, I want kind of unencumbered and a certain percentage of transit money that just doesn't get tied to nickel and diming. We just get that into transit, and there has to be a good faith that the city's going to meet needs outside the city limits for transit, which – I think we will. And then I think there's another piece to it, which the city of Tucson is kind of landlocked all the way around of areas that either don't want to annex in or want to be their own town or may annex into other towns or other towns. I mean, that's what we are. So what the city doesn't necessarily need to build new roads. The city needs to improve their current roads. Mm-hmm. And so I want a really substantial piece of what Tucson does to be an improvement of our current roads and modern, you know, pavement modernization, not necessarily maintenance per se, but an augmentation of maintenance. And maintenance is a bad word because I think constitutionally we're not necessarily allowed to do that, but it definitely augments the corridors that we have, and we're due to renew those corridors. This is a vital piece to that. So that's my two cents. I'm going to let Ted, he's the expert, jump in.
General, why don't we take the break and then segue into segment number 4, and you'll be up to the plate, and we'll get an update on how we look for RTA next. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. Be right back with Paul Cunningham and General Ted Maxwell.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway. It's 78 degrees over there right now. What a lovely day they're having as we push our way up to, 105 to 107, somewhere like that. It's a lot cooler over in Silver City because the elevation is 5,000 to 7,000 feet. So you're going to have a great time when you go over there. A lot of outdoor activities. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Start your planning now, then take the drive, only about a three-hour drive, depending on where you're leaving from in the Tucson Valley, and you'll have a great time. All right, we're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, our live line, our telephone live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, General Ted Maxwell, the head of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, president, CEO since 2018, is on the live line. He's also, of course, a host here on Tuesday morning, 7 to 9 on the Morning Voice. He's on the Arizona Department of Transportation. He's the representative from Pima County on their board, and subsequently he's on the board then of the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority. So along with Paul Cunningham here, we're wondering, General Maxwell, what's next on this? I know you're really up against the deadline for March of next year to let the voters say yes or no to regional transportation.
Well, I think as we get closer, people are going to understand that we've got to work with what we've got planned and make the tweaks we can and then press forward. One thing with Michael Ortega coming in as the executive director, he's taken a hard look and he did a really nice job at the last board meeting of showing financially why he believes all the funds are there to get the projects from RTA 1 minus the four that we've already moved to RTA next complete. And we can do that. The challenge becomes, and it hurts both completing the first projects and it immediately cripples transit and any other activities, is if we don't get this done into the ballot by March. And I think that will lead people towards getting there. I heard, Councilman Cunningham has said that he's got some issues with RTA. What people have got to forget, 18 projects, road projects now, we're just talking about 18 road projects have been completed. The funding is there for the rest of them, and all of them have already had work and activity either in design or right-of-way acquisition and other stuff to get those done. We're going to get there, but without RTA 1, we wouldn't have the improvements at Tangerines. We wouldn't have had any of the work and the improvement at Houghton. Speedway would be different. Broadway wouldn't have the INA TI that we have now. Wouldn't have Sarita Road improvements. Wouldn't have Twin Peaks on-ramp and off-ramp. All those things are significant improvements to our region and our roadways. I fully agree with Council Member Cunningham. I believe the current plan as it's been tweaked coming back to us is showing an increased use of the arterial reconstruction element, which is something that didn't exist in the last RTA, but it is in this one. And to me, for me, in Oro Valley, where I don't see a lot of projects that are coming to Oro Valley this time, had some good projects, La Cañada last time, Tangerine, that helped that community. But how does somebody like me in Oro Valley say, this is a good deal? I work in the city of Tucson. 13,000 residents of Oro Valley come to the city of Tucson. We drive on those arterial roads, on First, on Stone, on Oro. We drive on all of those all the time. The arterial reconstruction element, which I believe is going to be up somewhere between 100 and 200 million in our final proposal, I believe, and that's my opinion, it will allow us to fix those roads that are driven by people from throughout the region. So it is regional progress. And it's going to allow us to do projects that without the RTA have little to no chance of getting done. So when we talk economic development, you know, Suncor for a long time said it's the capability or the quality and the capability of our roadways that we need to improve to strive for both a vibrant economy and a vibrant way of life. This is our chance. And if we miss the opportunity of letting the voters once again decide if they want it or not, because we as a 9-member board can't come together, I'll really be disappointed.
Well, we talked about if Project Blue goes down, what that sends, what kind of message it sends. You can probably argue that some might say Tucson's not welcome to welcoming these data centers. But I'll tell you, if the voters don't get a chance to renew this regional transportation plan, General Ted Maxwell, what message does that send to economic developers?
It sends the great if not louder. I mean, we don't want to be Phoenix. I love this region. I'm not leaving. I'm not moving away. I love where I live. I love what we have in this community. But we've talked about the slowdown in our growth. We've talked about the slowdown in our economic development. And yes, 90 miles north, it's gone crazy. Don't want to be them. But what they have invested on for the last 40 years, they just approved their third 20-year segment of regional funding, because roadways and infrastructures, much like water, utilities, and a lot of other issues, are regional in nature, and we need a regional collaborative, cooperative approach. And RTA is it when it comes to the roadway and our road infrastructure.
Paul Cunningham is shaking his head in affirmative. Paul, I think you do. I don't know. I've known you a long time. You are a regional guy.
Well, I'm a regional guy, but I want more incorporated areas. Like, okay. I've talked over and over about municipalization.
And we agree on that. Agree on more incorporation.
So I don't really need annexation for the city. I'd rather have Catalina Foothills and TVVA. I've actually had a discussion with the Attorney General about some type of village or special municipal districts, so we can at least get our state shared revenues and have sales taxes in those areas as well, so that they can build some of their own infrastructure and cover their own municipal services. So that's one thing I do believe, and I think that's one of the bigger steps in making our region stronger. But having a regional authority when it comes to transportation in a metropolitan statistical area like ours is par for the course. It's standard, and so it doesn't make any sense to not have it. So by putting the right package together, it can be a really good deal for Tucson, and that's important.
Mm-hmm. But you would have doubts whether voters might approve it.
I think it's a heavy lift right now. I think there's some sentiment out there that it questions whether the value. But mm-hmm. I'll vouch for the value. Say that it's something that's necessary for regions like ours to succeed.
Right. There you go. General Maxwell, some of your closing remarks now. We're less than about a minute and a half left.
Well, I love the focus on regionalism. I love us thinking as a community. You know, there's always going to be discussions amongst the towns and the city and the elected leaders. They their job's to represent the people that put them in office. But for us to truly prosper as a region, we need to approach these issues with a regional approach. And I'd ask Councilman Member Cunningham back on the Project Blue thing, ask all the tough questions. And if you still don't get the answers, then you vote how you're voting. So it's important that we consider all the facts when we move forward. And as an elected official, you should be able to get those answers.
Final thoughts, Councilman Cunningham.
Right. So with respect to Project Blue, I'm very researched and very methodical and usually very even-handed when on any decisions like this. And so I think I've covered that in this case. But I'll keep digging if you want me to. But ultimately, I don't see my mind changing at all. Secondly, as far as everything else with taking that regional approach, he's right. I mean, we all have to be good partners, and our stalwart partners, whether it's utilities, whether it's different towns, the main city, the county, they all have to work together. They all have to exist symbiotically. And if we can't, it's just like any community around the world, a house divided among itself will fall. So I think we've got to be there, and I think we will be. Ultimately, it's up to the people to decide how that okay. how that symbiosis works.
Okay, Paul Cunningham. Thank you, Paul. And General Maxwell, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, on behalf of Councilman Cunningham and General Maxwell, have a great day, everybody.